go ahead and start work. This project has two really charming properties. And by project, I mean like the concept, the implementation so far, and the Claude setup, which this is the Claude Teams one, that I can very quickly get into context on this. And I can set it going. I'm more likely for it to be able to go for a while before it bugs me again. It's not like thorough.
But
more than my others.
Do you think some of that is the size of the context?
The project itself?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe because it's still quite small.
Right.
But some of it is the way I've set it up. I've told Claude that it is a consulting company.
Okay.
We'll get this. It's called the Small Arc Consulting Company.
As in small arcs of larger circles.
Exactly. Nice. Exactly. Norm Bateson's book. And so I'm the client. Mm-hmm. And so the particular interaction that sets up is that I won't be super in the details, right? It doesn't ask me questions about coding concerns, hardly ever.
Okay. Now, historically, where historically is like 6 months ago. That approach fills me with fear and trepidation because of what I've seen.
Do you think it's changed? Oh, yeah.
In those 6 months.
Absolutely. It really has. And now with this one, I have the project lead, which is the main agent on Opus.
Okay. Okay. So you're kind of choosing models based on role.
Yeah. But like the developer is on Sonnet.
Right. Which usually works pretty well in my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. But the developer's scope is relatively limited.
Yeah.
Because the developer's only in charge of the code.
I'm curious if you've seen this, though. One thing I've seen with like Sonnet versus Opus lately is usually Sonnet is faster.
Oh, yeah. It's faster and cheaper.
Right. It's certainly cheaper. We know this. But every now and then, it sort of hits a wall for me where it actually takes longer than Opus on the same problem.
Oh, I do not have that level of visibility into what the heck it's doing. I'm not paying attention like that.
Like, so you're walking away is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because I'll see it. I'll see Sonnet wedge up for like 5 minutes. And I'll realize, oh, this is like a large, this is like a big change that it needs to make. Okay. And then I'll switch it to Opus,
which has a bigger context window.
Right. And Opus will be, because with like Augment, you can just re-execute the same, up till now, basically, the story so far with a different model. And I'll switch it to Opus and Opus will be like, okay, yeah, got this.
Okay. So yeah, because generally when their context window gets mostly full, they get stupid.
Yeah.
They lose.
And this is even like not without it. Like I'm not like stretching the history at this point. You know, it's just, I see some problems that it seems like Sonnet has a hard time fitting, I guess, the sort of number of things, moving parts that need to be changed. Like anything that involves a bunch of different code changes in different places, you know, in order to, Opus is on those. Like when I see Sonnet suddenly just like bogged down, and think forever.
And we should say that Opus is currently Anthropic's biggest model available, right. And it's pretty expensive. but Sonnet is like completely reasonable cost-wise. So Sonnet for most things, Opus when you need it.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. You know, I had assumed up until then that the difference would be Opus would always take longer, but it would be more capable, like would come up with better solutions for larger problems.
But it turns out for larger problems,
it's actually at least the way Augment is using it, it's sometimes faster.
Okay, so I mean that's not weird. When you hit complexity barriers, things slow down to a crawl.
Yeah,
and that's where we try not to get in our code bases, is to that complexity barrier.
Yeah, which speaks a little bit to something that I've been noodling over of late, having to do with the complexity barrier for humans reviewing LLM code.
And see, my flags go up with that because from what I've seen flying around, including internally in Honeycomb, reviewing LLM code is the wrong place to be reviewing. Now, we're stuck there until we get our projects to a point where not looking at the lines of code is safe.
Right. And that's the key, is that, you know, I'm working on a project that's not true. And what I've found is that, you know, we have a developer who has an extraordinary amount of context for the project and ability to integrate it all.
But that's all in his head.
Yeah. I mean, not intentionally so. It's just difficult to externalize that.
Oh,
that
it's so hard.
Amount of context. And which is another problem that I've been thinking about lately. But what I have found is that we do need to be able to, still need to be able to review it. You know, and I'm not talking about, mostly I'm not talking about mistakes like mistakes, like, method doesn't exist.
But in general,
what I'm more seeing is there are implications sometimes of changes.
Like the change has an implication somewhere else.
Yeah, like you were talking the other day about, you know, having virtual feature owners. This goes to that idea of, like, there are many different capabilities built into the system and many different concerns. And, you know, it takes someone with a tremendous amount of context to look it over and be like, but what you didn't know is that this particular library, when used with the web server that we are constrained to use, has a history of seg faults caused by forking.
Yikes.
And that's, you know.
And then how do you get that kind of knowledge out in a place where the next version of the model will have it?
Well, yeah. And I mean, I keep thinking that it.
You can't get it out preemptively.
Right. You can't get it out preemptively.
As you hit it,
you can add to the overall guidance. And I think you're right here in having, like, these different hats that are like, run this reviewer and then run this reviewer, like, that are mindful of their different.
Right. Because we can't tell it 60, 100 different things to remember.
But we can tell 10,000 things.
But we can tell this agent, you're in charge of this one. You're in charge of these five. You're in charge of this capability.
Yeah. I feel like, though, we also need another pass, which is telling a pass where we have those agents go over a finished pull request or something and look over the conversation, like the review comments and stuff like that. And for each one should update its own knowledge base on, is there something relevant to you in here?
Oh, okay. Yes. So for instance, with the capability owners, they need to look at each PR because the code has changed. And is there something relevant to its capability?
Yeah.
And at the end, there's another level of if the capability owner adds a little comment. Oh yeah, I'll remember this. Because at some point we humans have added commentary to the PR that needs to get preserved. And somebody has to decide, how is that going to get preserved? Is it going to be in one of the existing review agents? Or is it going to be in a new review agent? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be up front in the architecture and maybe also in a review agent? And that person also needs to be an agent, maybe with Opus. Mm-hmm. So it's layers. How do we solve the problems with AI? With more AI, of course. But that AI is structured by the prompts that we summon it with and the deterministic software that triggers it, gives it the prompts, reacts to its tool calls, etc. So there's layers of deterministic software, prompts, and then of course all the context that's available to it from tool calls. Mm. And there's LLMs mixed into all of it, just at many layers of meta. Mm. Yeah, something that I appreciate about being alive right now is that we are here at the beginning. And we get to start with raw LLM calls, like in our course. We get to start with what is an LLM. And we get to build up these layers of agents. And then there's going to be agents on agents on agents. And that means we're the generation that has a hope of understanding this.
Yeah. I mean, I have some I have questions about whether we're actually going to see it progress in the direction of more and more layers. I actually have some reservations about whether it'll go that way. A lot of people in this space, especially people who are like rolling workflows right now, are kind
generalizing of too soon.
Yes.
No, we don't. This is the conversation.
They're imagining that they can fix things with elaboration of layers and of definitions. And I don't think it's, I think that what we see shake out is not going to be that elaborated, actually.
Right. Well, elaborate and then collapse.
Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, we just have to try stuff and see what works. And to your point, what works changes as the agents change. Yeah. But even then, things that work with smaller, cheaper, faster agents can continue to work with smaller, cheaper, faster agents. Mm-hmm. That's still useful. The interesting answers are always in the middle between the two extremes.
Yes. That's the thing.